Awesome. And Melanie had no idea my message tonight, but I'm going to be talking about God being with you in the storm. Well, Sam then is on cue with the Holy Spirit. So that's good. We're going to be talking about that tonight. All right. I already feel, Georgianne, you feel, it feels good back in church, don't it? Don't it feel good back in church and feel that presence of God? And He's your cornerstone, and when you're weak, He makes you strong, and He's with you in every storm, and He's the Lord of all. Hallelujah for all of us. He's the Lord of all. All right, the kids, be dismissed with Mr. Randy at this time to learn something very good about the Lord. And if the rest of you be fine, the book of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to talk tonight about, we're going to talk about a story that happened, an event that happened with Jesus. It's a very simple story we've all heard about, of when He quieted the sea. The storm came, the disciples feared, and Jesus simply just said, "Peace be still." Then we're going to go over into another book, I think Luke 8, I believe, to where Peter walked on the water, fear hit him, Jesus saved him, said, "Why'd you doubt?" So we'll talk about that He is faithful. Always faithful, even in our storm. God is faithful. Every one of us have challenges, frustrations, issues in our home, our marriage, our children, our money, our mind, our spiritual state. All of us are having battles. All of us are fighting something. Some kind of stronghold, some kind of battle, some kind of demon, something that continually shows its face to try to destroy us and pull us down. But I want to encourage you with what we're going to read here, that if you're in Christ, He's with you forever. You are not alone. You're not facing this alone. You're not fighting this alone. He is with you forevermore. And so don't be discouraged when storms come. Don't be discouraged when tribulation comes, because they will. They continually will. Because we're saved doesn't mean everything goes away. It doesn't. It's going to be many challenges that come against our lives. But we have to be faithful to remember this. God said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'm with you to the very end of the world." He is with us. Even in the middle of our battle, He's with us. So you be encouraged and you hang on and you trust that you're seeing God and not your storm. I've said before that many of us size up our storms, our giants, our battles, but we don't look at the size of our God. That's the important thing. Let's size up God. How big's God? God's bigger than any battle we can face. God's bigger than anything that comes against us. God's able to do it because He's bigger. And so we need to trust that He is faithful. And, you know, the songs that we sing here and the songs that we're very, and I'm a big, big part of song selection of what we sing here, because I want the message to be right. And I want the message to focus on Jesus and the cross and the blood and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on things that are the true gospel and not another gospel. We have to be very careful that we are not deceived, even as Christians, into another gospel. Because, you know, the devil attacks us as Christians. And we're not so holy and so strong and so seasoned that if we don't let our guard down, guess what happens? It can come into our lives. Before we know it, it's got on us as well. We're in a very desperate time of a very desperate generation of many people that are searching for all the answers in all the wrong places. And that's why the church is so important. How about that last week, the importance of the church and why we exist, why it's here, what the purpose of God to the church was for. And we're supposed to be a light and a beacon for lives to come into and hear the truth and be changed. Where else are they going to hear the truth of the gospel but in a local house of God? So it's important that we invite those people. Just out of curiosity, I know it's only been 3 days. Has anybody gave their card out yet this week? Anybody get their card out? All right, don't forget about it. We'll pass some more out Sunday morning for the ones that weren't here. I might do it tonight in a service too, because there's a few of y'all that wasn't here Sunday morning that I want you to be a part of this. All right, have y'all found Mark chapter 4? We're going to begin reading in verse 35. Mark 4, 35. This is Jesus calming the storm. And I'm so glad He calms our storms. "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them," to His disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. The word peace translates into the word silence. Silence is what he was really saying. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now let's talk about this story that happened. It's very human nature for us to be afraid when something happens. Jesus, at that point, to them, they saw him as a man. A very good man. Maybe the Messiah, but still a man. So he's asleep on his ship. The storm was beating in. The waves were crashing in. They got afraid. They went and woke Jesus up and says, You want us to die? Jesus simply comes upstairs, out of the boat, goes to wherever the front of the boat, and just says, Silence. Be calm. Everything was still. Jesus calms our storms. Jesus speaks peace into our lives. What we have to understand is our faith attached to what we are seeing around us, or is attached to who's living in us? There's a big difference. Many of us gauge our faith on what's happening to us, not what has already happened in us. See, Jesus is faithful. He's not going nowhere. Like Melanie said, I love that. I preached a message a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, about that we are actually, as Christians, blameless before God. Blameless, not because of us, because of the blood. And think about that. He saved us from our sins. He's in us forevermore. He doesn't leave us when a storm comes. He doesn't leave us when a battle arises. He doesn't leave us when a giant's taunting at us. He doesn't leave us. No matter what we're going through, he doesn't leave us. He's faithful. He's right there in us everywhere that we go. And he's saying, just trust me. Can't you just trust me? I never told you there won't be no storms along the way. I never told you there won't be any battles or any frustrations or any obstacles. There are going to be those things. But trust me, because I'm in you and I'm guiding you through those stormy waters. I'm right with you. You're not going to drown. You're not going to go under. I've got you. That's what he's really saying. I've got you. Have peace that God has us. He knows what we're battling. He knows that we're being crashed on every side. He knows every doubt the enemy puts in your mind, every fear that comes into your heart. He knows all those bad thoughts you have from the devil, all those lies that he whispers in your ear. But he's with you, and that's when you remind him, and that's when you speak to the devil, peace, be still. When you're in the middle of something, peace, be still. When the battle's raging, peace, be still. When you're so overcome with frustration, peace, be still. When anxiety and discouragement has got you tore down 6 feet under, you rise up and say, peace, be still. I know God is with me, even in the heat of my battle. God is faithful. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Y'all clap in this church, you know. It's all right to clap for God. Amen. It is amazing how easily our faith, and I'm talking about me too, how easily our faith wanes. Man, we're strong on the mountaintop. We come home. Guess what, baby? I got a raise at work. We can have steak tonight. Then the next week. Guess what, baby? I got laid off. It's Beanie Weenie tonight. But you know what? God's still faithful. We measure and we occupy our faith at a level of what we're seeing and not on what God has already done. See, God's in us. I mean, we got to either believe we got him or we don't have him. It's God's not a genie that we rub the cross. Boom! I'll give you 3 wishes. He accomplished everything for our lives 2,000 years ago. Everything's been done. It's handled. It's finished. And when we accept him, we accept all of who he is. Who is God? He's everything. He's my doctor. He's my lawyer. He's my counselor. He's my provider. He's my protector. He is everything I ever will need. Whatever I need, God's got it. It's in his bag. No matter what storm comes, God's got it. No matter what giant stands, I got this. No matter what obstacle stands there, watch this. No matter what hole is in front of us, watch what I do here. Whatever is presented in our lives, God is well capable and able to fight for us and to bring us victory in every single facet of our walk. Everything from sickness and disease to financial distress to a rebellious child to a broken marriage to a broken mind to a broken spirit. God has what we need to restore, to re-strengthen, to refresh, and to rebuke the devourer for our name's sake. He fights for us. We have a God that fights for us. Understand, He fights for us. Do you realize that? He fights for you. We're not alone in this battle. We're not in the ring by ourselves. He is following us everywhere that we go. His eyes are upon us, and He is with us even when we don't feel He's with us. See, that storm came. These disciples were freaking out. We're going to die. But man, the one that said we're going to go to the side was on the boat. He was with them. Nothing was going to happen to them. Jesus had already spoken the word that we're going to cross to the other side. And thank God we know we're crossing to our other side as well, that we have a kingdom waiting on us. But because of what the blood did, because of what Calvary did, that we're crossing to the other side. And the devil will try to come disrupt and distract and torment and tempt and test. But we got to remind ourselves, God, You are with me in the darkest moments of my life. You are with me in the deepest depressions that I'm in. You're with me when everything around me is broken down. You are with me when my money is gone, when my wife has left, when my child won't talk to me. God, You are still with me. You are a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. And You're not going to forsake me. You're not going to abandon me. You're not going to orphan me. You're not going to walk out of my life. You're not going to turn Your back on my life. You're not going to reject me. You're going to continue to lift me up. Even when I don't know You're doing it, You are lifting me up. For if You weren't, You would be completely destroyed. But because He lifts us up, we are not destroyed. His mercies are new every single morning, the Bible says. Every day is a new day. Every day is a fresh day. Every day a new opportunity. Every single day, God wakes you up with expectations and dreams and visions and said, I'm with you. I'm with you in the car. When you're having a bad day at work, I know I'm there. When school, I know I'm there. When you're getting bullied, I know I'm there. When you're having suicide thought, I know I'm there. Whatever you're battling, whatever you're going through, God is faithful not to leave your side. God is more faithful than Gomer Pyle was when Andy Griffith saved his life. You remember that episode where Gomer saved his life, or Andy saved Gomer's life? There was a fire in a gas station, Andy pulled Gomer out, and then Gomer says, Andy, I'm going to be by your side. I'm not going to leave you. I'll do anything you want. And he's out there vacuuming at 2 in the morning and mowing a yard in the middle of the night. I'm by your side. I'm never going to leave you. And he's like, my God, that's how God is. I'm not leaving you. I'm by your side. A lot of times He's carrying us. You know, I look back at my own life, and I know you all can look at your life, where you were. I mean, somebody talked about this earlier this evening, where you were and where you are now. And it's almost unrecognizable. And who would have thought you would be where you are now from where you were then? Because God was with you. And God didn't leave you in that gutter. And God didn't leave you in that bad place. And God didn't leave you in that darkness. And God didn't leave you in that lowly estate. But God was with you. Yes, we went through it. Yes, we suffered some things. And yes, we had many things we wish we couldn't take back and not have done. But we went through that season. And through that whole season, God's hand was always from the West Virginia folks here, God's hand was on you. To wherever you're from, God's hand was on you. From New York, God's hand was on you. And God led you and guided you and kept you and brought you to this moment in time, not by accident, but by divine providence, by His direct will. He said, that one is mine, and the devil's not going to have her. That family's mine, and the devil's not going to have her. That one's mine, and the devil's not going to have her. That one's mine, the devil's not going to have her. He is with us, faithful to keep us in all those seasons. He was always there, and He always will be there. Be encouraged about that. God's going to be there. He's not going to walk away out of your life. He's not going to reject you. He does not leave us broken. He fixes us. He heals us. He mends us. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that says he's forgotten about you. He's abandoned you. He's not blessing you. He's not answering your prayers. No, God is there. We go through bad seasons and bad storms, but through it all, God is there. Are we going to recognize our Lord, or are we going to recognize the storm? Which one do we give power to? Because many of us give power to the storm, and that's why we stay under that subjection. We're slaves to the storm and not a servant unto God. We just let the storm bounce us around. Just like the Bible says, don't be tossed to and fro with every doctor and all that. Don't be bounced around and not know where you're going. We let storms ping-pong us around. You know, there are folks that won't come to church. They're depressed. That never made sense to me. I'm telling you. When I call people been out of church, what do they say? We've been going through a lot of things every time. Okay, so you're not in church? I mean, I understand if you won the lottery, you know, you won $1 million and you just moved to Vegas, and I can live with that. But you're going through something? I've been going through something. Okay, why aren't you here? This is what the church is for. It's not for the put together. Believe me, this church definitely is not for the put together. Look at you. It ain't for the put together people. It's for the ones that need help. And the thing I always get, some of you have said this, maybe here tonight you've told me that. I've been going through a lot of things. I know I need to get back. Yes, that's what the devil wants, because he knows when you hear the word over and over, something's going to snap. There's going to be a service. It hits your soul, and something's going to change. A chain's going to break. Something's going to happen, and your deliverance will come forth. And the devil knows that, and that's why he tried to keep you out of the house of God. Don't ever forsake. That's when you need the very most. Here's what I tell people. If I was a doctor, here would be my prescription I would write. Are you depressed? I'm fighting great depression. And he wants me on all this medicine. Here's what I prescribe. Be in church 3 times a week. But I'm real discouraged. Be in church 3 times a week. Man, I'm having a lot of marital problems. My wife is a nag preacher. Well, you ought to want to be in church 3 times a week away from her, right? I mean, get in church 3 times a week. That's my prescription for everything. Hear the word. Hear the word of God. It changes you when you hear it. The Bible says that the word of God will not come back void. And so every service I preach for the last 11 years, I always think about that. When I don't see maybe change I think I should see as a human being, or, you know, I just can't seem to get, you know, Amanda straightened out. I'm like, my gosh, been here 8 years. Come on, get it together. Just picking on Amanda. Is it helping? And then I'm reminded of that verse. His word will not return void. And so that means that every time I, as a minister of the gospel, sow a word of God into a body of people, it's going to take root somewhere. It's going to grow in somebody. Somebody's going to get it, and they're going to be changed by the seed that was planted. Somebody's going to leave different. Somebody's going to grow from that one seed that was planted. So we keep on sowing, and we keep on sowing. Some crops are really slow. We keep on sowing. Sometimes I think our ship's going to never come in, right? We're like, I've been waiting at the port, and I don't even see it. I mean, where is it at? I've been waiting for 20 years for this great thing to come in. Keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing, and it will not return void. You be faithful, and you look unto God as your source and not your storm. Man, we're going through a lot of storms. We're going through, I mean, our culture, the way it's shifting right now. We see such a shift in the morality, and even the Christianity part is shifting into much more of a softer, contemporary gospel and not what the Word of God really says. And people are biting into that, and they're being sucked into that. I want to tell you something. I need the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need it. Don't we need it, church? And if you want to be somewhere where there's no conviction, then there's going to be no change. There has to be conviction before there's any change. And so we see a shift of the world and the morality, and we're accepting this and accepting this. And even among Christian folks now, there's some social issues in our time that are being accepted by a lot of very mainline Christians. That it's okay. It ain't my business. Did you find that story in the paper, Mom? Did you look it up yet? Oh, you read that article, didn't you, Dad? The Statesville paper, Monday. Was it Monday's paper or Tuesday? Monday's. Monday's paper. I don't know if anybody saw the article or not. And we're talking about moral depravity. And from this pulpit, you have heard me talk about this would come. Here in North Carolina, a man and his wife were arrested outside of Fayetteville, over in that area of the state, somewhere. Wilson, Fayetteville, somewhere over there. a man and his wife were arrested for sexual acts with dogs and cats and making films with them, filming movies. They arrested them for bestiality and cruelty to animals and took the animals off. I mean, this is where we're at. And when I've said that before, I asked my ex to come to me after church. That ain't the same. When you're talking about same-sex thing, that's still human beings. But it's not natural. Understand, it's not natural for two men to be together that way. It's not natural for two women to be. It's not natural. So if that's not natural, what else is not natural? It just keeps going. It's not that far-fetched. Here it is in our own state. This has happened. This is a married couple doing this. What depravity. What spirit would call something that grotesque? Because we are in such a moral shift, and we're allowing all the wrong spirits to come into our... That's why we, even as Christians, must guard ourselves. Guard our homes and guard our hearts and guard our minds. Don't ever... Here's a trick of the enemy. This is what happened to Samson. You'll think some of you might right now are sitting there, and I know you thought it because I thought it. Man, alive, that's sick. How could anybody ever do that? But understand, if the wrong spirit gets in there, people can do anything they want. I mean, who would think grown men would want to be with little children? But that's all across our country. I mean, that's massive. That's thousands and thousands of people like that. We have teachers with students now doing all this stuff. That's everywhere. We're seeing all of this because we're allowing the wrong... Don't ever think you're so strong you can't fall. That's a trick of the enemy. Don't ever think you're so... This is why I think it's important as Christians we must completely stay humble to the power of the cross. Realizing, just like Melanie said, I cannot be at the throne faultless apart from Jesus. Even the best of my days. I mean, Don could go talk to Peter for me. Peter, come here. I want to talk to you, buddy. I'm going to pull my iPad out. iPad out. And here, there's an iPad, right? Okay, thank you. And I'm going to show you all the deeds my Pastor James did. Now look, Peter. He scrolls down. They got an hour to scroll with your eyes. That's some scary stuff. You know that? They got a new phone out now. You use your eyes to scroll. Picks up your retina. Yes. Better watch it, church. You better know what you mean. I'm ready to go back to the prayer day and chop wood and not have no microwave, no TV, no phone. I want to go back about 150 years and live. Anyway, Don can scroll down. Look, Peter. Look at how good my preacher was. Man, he preached all these years and he helped all these people and man, he gave to the poor, and look at all the things he did. My pastor was a good man. And Peter said he did do a lot of good things. Old James, a pretty good boy. But let me see what the word, thank you, Brenda. But let me see what the word says. Oh, here it is, and Mark 4:6. Good old boy is getting to heaven. That must be James. He's a good old boy. The only way I'm spotless before Jesus is that I've been covered by his blood. And I confess that, and I accept that, and I understand that. See, there are people that still, I'm talking about people that's been saved, that still think their works and their merit have bearing with their salvation. And it doesn't. None. Now, sure, we're going to produce the works of Christ as a Christian. We're going to, we should. A lot of people don't. Once again, a lot of people don't. We see a lot of stuff. Too much stuff on Facebook, right? If you don't want to know about somebody, don't look at them on Facebook. You'll find out who they really are. It's very disappointing. It truly is. So I'm not talking about living in sin and saying, I'm what we see Jesus. I'm talking about those of us that have been really saved. Understand that it's not your holiness, your shouting, your praising Jesus, your testifying that gets you there. It is Jesus and him alone. It's what he did for you. And we can rest in that cornerstone, Christ alone, my righteousness. Then we'll have a greater understanding of what true Christianity is. It's never been about works. It's been about the work. It's never been about deeds. It was about the deed. Christianity has never been about following a bunch of rules. It's following Christ. That's what it's always been. But like everything else, man's gotten their hands in it and messed it up. And You know, now you got stoves. When you try to turn on your house to cook a pot of soup, you know, it takes 20 minutes to get hot because of all the regulations and stuff. And back in the old day, you know, crank the stove, it's hot in 3 seconds. Now you got to wait and wait and wait and wait because, you know, we're saving the earth. I understand that. Anyway, when man gets their hands in stuff, we just mess it up. So man got in the church, started saying, hey, you want to be holy? You better do this. You want to be holy? Better do that. You want to go to heaven? You better not do that. You better be ready. You better not do that. Boy, you better hope the trumpet don't sound, Ron, when you look at that blonde in the mall. You better hope it don't sound because you are in fire and brimstone. My God, we'd never be saved. At least Ron wouldn't. I played Ron. We'd never be saved. I mean, really? And so we put that on us thinking that, but here's the deeper point. We put that thinking that we're doing something to get saved. That takes all credit from Jesus. That takes all glory from what he did. Because if I could have done it, he wouldn't have had to. It's that simple. He's our cornerstone. So place all your faith in Jesus. He was on the boat with them, and yet they were afraid. He's in your heart tonight, but yet we're afraid. Why are we afraid? There's no fear in him. There should be no fear in him. We've got a promise from God that he's not going to leave us. We've got a promise from God, not only in this earth, but what's to come for us. He's going to usher us and escort us into the next realm. We got a promise. If you're laying in the hospital bed and you've had a death sentence placed on you physically, you can take great comfort in knowing as you lay in that hospital bed that God is with you and that God's hand's got you and that he's going to usher you and not leave you or forsake you, but just he's just going to walk right in with you and take you to the kingly place. We're not alone. And if we could realize we're truly not alone, we wouldn't live in so much fear. That's why it's important we call that name of Jesus when we're afraid. Just speak the name of Jesus. Don't know what to say. It's like that song they have out. You don't know what to say. Just say the name of Jesus. Just speak the name of Jesus. They can try to silence it all they want, but they will not silence the power that Jesus is. That'll never change. They can do whatever they want to try to silence Christians, but the message will continue to go forth. Look at all the martyrs that happened back after Jesus, after he died. All those martyrs of Stephen and Peter. Well, all the disciples were killed. I mean, all of them were executed pretty much. All of his disciples killed for the gospel. That stopped it from going on, it just grew. Others got killed, it grew. And it's still growing. Still growing all over the world. Maybe not in America as much. Other places Christianity is growing. Because you know why? They have nothing but God to look to. Nothing. I've said this before, you look at these crusades in Africa. Most of Africa is very poor. Thousands and thousands are getting healed. I mean really healed. Thousands and thousands never heard about Jesus. They're crying out, their hands in the air, tears in their face, falling, slain before God. You know why? They don't have urgent care to go to. They don't have counselors they can pay $100 an hour to go talk to. They don't have food and clean water, a lot of them. So they hear about Jesus who loves them. And he can change your whole world. I want that. I need that. There's nothing else for me but that. There's no plan B. It's God or nothing. In America, we've got a lot of different plans. I go to church if I'm convenient, and I'll go if I want to, and I'll serve God when it's okay, but, you know, I'm just weak, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. We make all these excuses. For some people, it's God or the old, they can have a sign, God or bust. It's God or nothing. It's the only hope I have. The woman had the issue of blood. She only had one hope, and that was Jesus. The Bible says every doctor, none of them could fix her. The Bible says she spent all that she had. There was nothing left to give. For 12 years, she had a blood disorder that nobody could heal her of. Nobody. And she said, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just touch his garment, I know something's going to happen in my life. My money's not healed me. The doctors didn't heal me. All the therapy didn't heal me. But there's one that can heal me. And as she made her way weak and probably embarrassed and ashamed to be publicly seen in such a condition, as she made her way through all those people to find Jesus,
She touched his garment. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Master, many are touching you," because they had a crowd around them. Had a crowd around. Imagine I'm up here at the altar and a lot of you are gathered around in a big group or a circle, and you know, we're laying hands on a person to pray for them, but there's one hand you feel a little different. He said, No, I'm talking about somebody touched me because I felt virtue. I felt power. I felt healing. I felt myself being poured into her. Somebody that believed in me touched me. And man, the Bible says her blood dried up and she went away healed. Because she wasn't looking at her storm no more. She was looking at Jesus, the one that could say, "Silence, blood, stop bleeding, wound, be healed, body, be restored." That's what he was saying when he touched her. And everything was made right. He saw Jesus. She saw Jesus and not her storm. You're battling a storm. You're battling a battle. See Jesus. He is faithful. He's not left you. Trust him. Trust him. You know, a lot of times we think we're in the wrong place. But most time we're in the right place at that moment. And then God will maybe move us or shift us or change. But I've learned that times I thought I was lost, actually I was found. I was more found than I realized I was. That God has us in seasons for a reason. He has us in places for a reason. But we don't stay in that season and we never stay in that same place. God pulls us through and pulls us out and puts us into the next season or the next moment in life. So when you think you're lost or think you're in the wrong season, begin to ask God, "Lord, am I in the wrong season? Or have I just stopped looking at you? Have I got caught up in myself and what I want in my will? Have I got caught up in the things around me? Have I got so storm scared that I've got faithless to you? Have I let the storms in my life and the battles and the hurts and the pain, have I let whatever's in my life, have I let those things become so big that it's drowned you out and I don't see you no more?" Because that's what happens a lot of times. People say, "I just don't feel close to God. I don't feel the Spirit. I feel distant. I feel cold. I try to pray. Nothing happens. I don't hear. I don't see. I don't feel." God's not changed. Man, the same touch of his Holy Spirit is power. And it's not lost one watt of power. It's fully Holy Ghost still. But we've allowed storms and battles to scar us so much that we've caught a lot of junk. I analogize this to an air filter in a car. If your air filter under your hood starts getting clogged up real bad, it affects airflow into your engine. If you have a dirty air filter for too long, it gets too bad, it can mess up other parts of your engine. The air filter has to be clean. But you know what? The air filter has a purpose in your car. It's to catch all the trash and junk so it doesn't get into your engine and mess it up. So see, our heart's our air filter. And if we don't see God more than we see everything else, all that junk gets attached to our air filter and clogs it up. And then we can't feel the true flow of the Holy Spirit anymore because it's blocked and gunked up with a bunch of junk. We got to change air filters. We got to get that junk out of there. We got to start looking at Jesus again and not our storm. Bless you. We got to start looking again at who is over the storm, not the storm itself. There is no giant, in closing, I will say this, there is no giant or no battle that God measures. They're all under his feet. We measure them. We always measure them, but God don't. I mean, stage 4 cancer and a headache, there's no difference to God. There's no difference in victory to God. One's not bigger than the other to God. He's over all of it. He can touch that. That giant stage 4 cancer doesn't scare God. "Oh, Lord, I got stage 4 cancer. I better get to work." He's still God. He's God. Start looking at how big God really is. And when we see how big God is, we can see how big he is, can't we? The sky, and me and Jamie was going to the Y, and the sky was just so beautiful. It was, you know, towards sunset, and it was, you know, the sky is never different. It's never the same any two nights. Never the same. God paints a canvas every night for us. To see the vastness of how big God is, start building him up. "God, you're able. I'm more than a conqueror. All things are possible."
Lord, I'm the head, not the tail. God, you're over my life. God, you're my Savior. God, you're my healer. God, you're my provider. God, you're my protector. God can watch over us. And He does. God's faithful. So when water starts coming in your boat again, maybe it's in your boat. Maybe you're right now, maybe water's in your boat and you don't know no way out. Just call on Jesus. Say, Lord, I need you to say, peace be still in my life. I need you to calm my seas. There's a song they got out. Sometimes God doesn't, what is it, Melanie? Sometimes God doesn't stop the storm. He just calms His child. Yeah, it's a song out. Sometimes He doesn't stop the storm. He calms His child. It's amazing how we can have strength in Him even in our storm if we really are relying on Him. Rely on Him. Be faithful to Him, not your storm. Father, I pray this word does not return void, that it was encouraging and uplifting, and that we leave here focused on the size of You, a God that holds the whole universe in His hands, a God that breathed life and it came forth, a God that took dirt and here we are, a God that spoke light and we see it every day, a God that keeps us spinning on our orbit, on an axis, on a degrees, Lord, without change. It's just there over and over, year after year after year. It's just there continually because You spoke it. The same God that feeds the birds and hibernates the animals, and the same God that produces the waves, the sea, and the same God that shines the moon and sprinkles the sky with stars, the same God that breathed life into us and brought us children and grandchildren, the very same God that calms our sea, the very same God can calm any sea of anybody, anytime, anywhere. Let us focus again and have our faith in You and not on the storm. Let us place all of our trust in You, God, and look unto You. That's where our help comes from. I give You honor and praise that You are still God. You are still on the throne. You are in full control. There is nothing that catches You by surprise or off guard. And I know that You're going to begin to calm some of our seas. We look to You again, Lord, and not be afraid. I pray for those in here tonight that are battling fear, such anxiety, such discouragement, that they begin to look into You again, God. Not their situation, not their storm, not their battle, but look at the One that's overcame the storm, overcame the battle, overcame the giant. Let them look unto You. I speak against fear, anxiety, discouragement now, that God, You lift it off even now. Begin to lift it off of shoulders, out of hearts, and out of minds, and that we leave here free, free from that junk, free from those lies of the enemy, free from that the chains are broken, and we feel Your peace and Your love and Your strength as we walk out of these doors. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. God bless you. I'm glad.